Our next story is also a collaboration, this time between musicians. One is Joo-won Kim. He's originally from South Korea, where he trained as a classical musician. And he fell in love with hip-hop after moving to the U.S. as an adult. He now leads ensemble Miknawooj, which brings those seemingly disparate musical styles together. The other artist is Khafre J. He's a rapper, an educator, and executive director of Hip Hop for Change, which uses the music as a tool for education and empowerment. Khafre and Joo-won partnered up to make The Future of Hip Hop, America's Newest Indigenous Art. It's a TED-style conference that highlights local innovators in hip-hop dance, music, and visual art, and it's happening this Saturday at Impact Hub in Oakland. Jen Chien spoke with them about misperceptions of hip-hop culture and why a conference like this is needed.
Can you describe what this summit is that you guys have planned, The Future of Hip-Hop, America's Newest Indigenous Art?
Yeah, I mean, I think people's perceptions of what hip-hop is, I mean, people are being sold a bill of goods. There's so much nuance to our culture. I mean, we got a homie, Davu Flint, that raps in front of a jazz band on a stool with a harmonica and sings. I know a lady who's a classically trained opera singer and a rapper. You know what I'm saying? Not only if we can show people the diversity in hip-hop and just how capable it is of going into anywhere and taking anything and, you know, making it something totally unexpected, totally new. That's the future of hip-hop. It's working. It's stretching a medium.
So what do you think it is that people misunderstand or don't understand about hip-hop, especially people maybe that don't listen to it or who aren't fans?
I can tell you my version of it, my understanding, because I think that a lot has to do with race, because when jazz was developing, people used to call it hot music, jungle music, and they discredited it. But it's actually one of the most significant musical inventions of 20th century.
For sure.
And hip-hop is the same way. And the invention of rhyming, the way the MCs rhymed with the music, has never been done. So flat out, it would be racism. So.
I think the biggest misperception about hip-hop, and even why, you know, if you go back to the 70s and you know, late 70s, you see the type of artistry with DJs, for example, doing things like beat juggling. And when that whole system becomes co-opted and you use it as entertainment and you're trying to sell massive amounts of units, that nuance, that diversity, it gets lost. You get a homogenization to the lowest common denominator to make sure you can sell the most amount of product. And that lowest common denominator in America, that's sex, drugs, and money. When we get to this mass scale of production of hip-hop, figuring out that, you know, hey, more kids in the suburbs who, you know, aren't from the hood are going to buy hip-hop if it's, like, really stereotypical, and we can get a lot of money. And they don't really care about the artistry as much because they don't have that cultural connection. And the idea is that, hey, hip-hop is about, like prowess and ability to express and eloquate yourself in a way that resonates to your people around you. You know, we have a system right now, 1996 Telecom Act, that three companies own 90% of the platform for my culture, and they make 90% of their money from suburban white people. Now, those people don't know that it is tricking if you got it. Like, Lil Wayne says it ain't, but it is. They still is in the hood, and they still buy Lil Wayne, even though he's saying something that's definitely not of the community hip-hop comes from. And Taco Bell makes a lot of tacos, but no one thinks they're Mexican, you know? But people think that all this hip-hop is my culture, my, you know, my image. So when I walk down the street and I stand out there and say, hey, talk to me about hip-hop, people grab their babies more often than not. You know, and that's because in America, 75% of white people report not having people of color for friends, let alone a hip hop hood black guy like myself. So they're more comfortable with seeing Lil Wayne on TV than ever shaking a hand with somebody like me. And that weighs in every social interaction I'm in. So, yeah, racism.
I'm speaking with Khafre J from Hip Hop for Change and Joo-won Kim of Ensemble Miknawooj, co-presenters of The Future of Hip Hop, America's Newest Indigenous Art.
So one thing that is interesting for me is that there's a flip side to it, because Ensemble Miknawooj is essentially Uber for artistic organization. What that means is that we realize that all old models of Western European artistic organization, like SF Symphony, like Metropolitan Opera, that are hemorrhaging money right now. And we know that this kind of work that is based on Western European aesthetics that are completely alienating to a lot of people are no longer working. What we're doing is to create something that works right now, that is based on the material that traditionally have been treated with much disrespect, we actually go deeper into the material and then create something that is organic to this culture. So that's the idea. So the idea of disruption.
Yeah, and I think that's what resonated with me the most, because I feel the same way, and it's the same idea, Hip Hop for Change. I mean, we have a system. We have a paradigm that means that if I'm not using the B word in my raps and I'm not basing my narratives on money being the base of my worth, then I don't get paid. My career will die if I'm not excellent at doing a crappy job I don't like and hustling on the side. I think that's the heart of this. You know, we need to have self-determination in our platforms. It's so important to make sure that we control the message of who we are. And if we don't, then we get shot by police at a higher rate. If we don't control that message, then Mexican people are bad for our economy. And Syrian refugees are like the most dangerous people in the world, because I think media representations are killing us. I mean, there is a paradigm shift where we've had a like 15% reduction in hip hop sales since 2000. And it's not attributable to just downloading and streaming. People just don't like crappy music. You know what I'm saying? Sorry.
So you're talking about commercial hip hop.
Commercial hip hop that is 16 tracks about your prowess, about the same type of stuff. Like, I don't want to hear Lil Wayne talk anymore about how many girls he has and how many birds he flies. And also the people that sound like they're nearly illiterate. This is because it's mostly bought 90% by suburban white people. Actually, 75% by suburban white men between 18 and 24. Talking college culture, rape culture, the big problems that big, rich college, you know, bro dudes have. They're buying this. And I think for them, seeing some illiterate, ignorant black person go, they love that. They think that is this tribal, dark continent narrative. But for black people, I remember being in school, and when I read aloud, I was petrified of reading badly. Because if I mispronounced a word, I made all black people look illiterate. You know what I'm saying? So as a community, we're not trying to look like idiots and minstrels. So we're not putting idiots and minstrels up there. So first off, how come white folks who try to engage in hip hop are mostly satiated by black pathology and hyperbolic tropes? But second, why do we have to give up our platform for it? That's beautiful. That could bring somebody like Ensemble McNawoos and do that to a stage near you. You know, that's what we should be seeing. We should have people like that on so I could stop scaring babies. It'd be great. I prefer to not do that. But I think more importantly, I prefer for us to have a self-determinative platform to find ourselves and express our beauty. And that's what it's about.